Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come to you on this, your holy Sabbath day, to give honor and glory to your name. We come before you, Father, to learn of you. And we ask, Father, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive the implanted word. Guide us and direct us and teach us from your word this day, Father. Help us to understand better your Savior and our Savior, your Son and our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Help us, Father, to give glory to your name, to praise your name as we come together to show that we love you. We come together to show that we are obedient to your covenant, that we seek to do that which is right in your sight. Forgive us for any sinful nature that we have still remaining within us, for any sin that we've committed, Father, in error. We ask, Father, through the blood of Yahshua, that you would cleanse our sin. We thank you for Yahshua's great sacrifice and the opportunity to come before you, Father, as sin-free, as repentant sinners, those who are seeking to do your will at all times, Father. And we thank you for that shed blood that cleansed all of our sin, Yahshua the Messiah. We ask, Father, in his holy name, that you would bless those that have a petition before you on the prayer list, that you would touch those bodies, that you would give them the understanding that they need, Father, in these last days to draw closer to you. Open their eyes, Father. Help them so that they would no longer be blind, but they would be able to see the good things that you've prepared for each and every one of your servants. And we thank you and give glory to you. In Yahshua's holy name we pray, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. I've entitled this message, The Benefits of Yahweh. And we're going to go into that. We'll discuss benefits in a little bit. But I'm going to give you a quick definition. The definition of the word benefit is a noun, and it means something advantageous or good. And there are many benefits to being one of Yahweh's servants. Almighty Yahweh is not the author of confusion, chaos, or division. But Yahweh is one. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll look at verse 33. It says, "For Yahweh is not an Elohim of confusion, but of peace." Now, we see that in the world there's a lot of chaos going on right now. But it says that Yahweh is not the mighty one of confusion, but of peace. So as we look closer in the word, we'll see that if it's not Yahweh who's doing this confusion, who is it? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we'll see the Shema. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verses 4 to 9, it talks about Yahweh. It says, "Shema, Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our Elohim is one. And you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." It's important that we understand what this passage is talking about. And these words in verse 6, it says, "Which I command you this day shall be upon your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." In other words, we're going to teach these to our children by example. "And you shall bind them for a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So these commandments, these laws of Yahweh, are going to be before us on a daily basis. The Yahweh did not create the world waste and void, but it became that way because of sin, because of chaos that was brought into the world. Turn to Isaiah 45:18. Isaiah 45:18. For in this manner, says Yahweh, who created the heavens, the Elohim who formed the earth and made it, who established it and created it not a waste, who formed it to be inhabited, I am Yahweh and there is no one else. So Yahweh didn't create the world in disarray. We see, if you turn over to Genesis, turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, we'll start at verse 1. It says, "And in the beginning Elohim created the heavens and the earth." But in verse 2 it says, "And the earth had become waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters." So in verse 3 it says, "And Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light." So what happened? That the earth that was perfect, created in a beautiful form, became waste and void. Something had to happen. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 7. Revelation 12:7, it says, "And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was cast down to the earth, and his angels were cast down with him." And in verse 4, if you'll go back there, it says, "And his tail draws the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth." That's 4a. We're not going to look at the whole verse there, just that part of it. But it shows you there what happened to the earth. There was a war between the angels of Yahweh and the followers of Satan the devil, those that he drew, that third part that he drew. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 1. "But there shall be no gloom to her that was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time he has made it glorious by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined." Important to us that we understand that that light was Yahshua the Messiah, and he has shined on each and every one that have accepted him. "You have multiplied the nations," in verse 3, "you have increased their joy. They joy before you according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the plunder," because they're excited, they're happy, they've received a harvest. "For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulders, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as in the day of Midian. For all the armor of the armed man and the tumult and the garments rolled in blood shall be for burning, for fuel of fire. For to us a child is born, To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty El, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, the Shar Shalom. Of the increase of his government and of peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from now on even forever. The zeal of Yahweh of hosts will perform this. Yahweh brought this to pass. In verse 8 it says, Yahweh sent a word into Yaakov, Jacob, which is Israel, and it has lighted upon Israel. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in pride and in stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen, but we will build with hewn stone. The sycamores are cut down, but we will put cedars in their place. Therefore Yahweh will set up on high against him the adversaries of reason, and will stir up his enemies, the Syrians in front and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with an open mouth. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. But we know Yahweh is going to give a reprieve. He's going to save a redeemed a people, a portion of Israel and Judah. Verse 13, it says, yet the people have not turned to him that struck them, neither have they sought Yahweh of hosts. Therefore Yahweh will cut off from Israel head and tail, palm, branch, and rush in one day. The elder and the honorable man, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. But they that lead this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Now you think about who's leading the people into sin. Ultimately, yes, it's Satan the devil, but the people have to give him their power. They have to yield to him. Where we're told to resist Satan and he will flee far from us. Therefore, in verse 17, Yahweh will not rejoice over their young men, neither will he have compassion on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is profane and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is still stretched out. In other words, Yahweh is still going to keep the pressure on those who are sinning against him. For in verse 18, wickedness burns as the fire. It devours the briars and the thorns. Yes, it kindles in the thickets of the forest, and they roll upward in a column of smoke. Through the wrath of Yahweh of hosts is the land burnt up, and the people are as fuel for fire. No man spares his brother, and one shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. And he shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm, Manasseh and Ephraim, and Ephraim and Manasseh, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. You know, I'm just got finished reading a book about the Crusades and the Templars and the Holy Land, and how, you know, they went about reclaiming this for the Almighty. But the thing is, back when the Romans sacked Jerusalem in 70, this came to pass. You had people eating flesh because there was no food. You had people who were trying to, you know, Yahweh had given the word, and his people had left and went to Pella. They had left Jerusalem well in advance of the occupying armies of the Romans. Light and darkness cannot coexist. The light will always dispel the darkness. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we'll start in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Elohim. See, a lot of people don't understand that this is a Hebrew book, and we're speaking of the Son of Yahweh. It says, the same was in the beginning with Yahweh, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness could not master it. And even to this day, Satan cannot master Yahweh's people unless you give yourself over to darkness. In verse 6 it says, there came a man sent from Yahweh whose name was Yohanan, John. English. And the same came for a witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, even the light which lights every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. He came to his own. They that were his own received him not. And we're talking about the Jewish people. The term Yehuda or Jew means one who praises Yahweh, a worshiper of Yahweh. So they, his people, were supposed to be worshiping Yahweh. And this is one of the reasons that the majority of them didn't recognize him. Because at that time, there was a prohibition against using the name Yahweh. See? It was illegal to do so. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of Yahweh, even to them that believed on his name. And that's why that name is so important. As it says in Acts 4:12, there's but one name under heaven by which men shall be saved. And it's not Jesus. There are no J's in Hebrew. English letter. Remember that. Who were begotten not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yahweh. And this is what we have to understand, brethren. This is not something that just came about because somebody thought, oh, this is something new. This was written from the beginning. See? Yahshua is the light. And it says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bears witness of him and cries, saying, this was he of whom I said he comes after me, has become before me, for he was before me. For of his fullness we all receive in grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Yahshua the Messiah. Grace and truth. No man has seen the Father at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has declared him. So keep that in mind, brethren, as we think about the benefits of Yahweh. What have you received of Yahweh in accepting his Holy Spirit? That's a good question. Turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. It says, bless Yahweh, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Even if we just stopped there, we would be a lot higher, a lot better off than most of the people of this earth. But we got to go a little further, go a little deeper. It says, bless Yahweh, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. See, remember what I said. Benefits are a noun. It's something advantageous or good. Now, most employers will give you benefits if it's a decent job, and we look at those benefits as a good thing because, you know, that's less money you have to spend if you have to go to the doctors, the dentist, or whatever, okay? But we're talking about the benefits of Yahweh. In verse 3, it says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your desire with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Yahweh executes righteous acts and judgments for all that are oppressed. If you are oppressed and you're of Yahweh, you will receive the benefits. Because he says, okay, over in Psalm 34, 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all. How many? Them all. Verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses, his doings to the children of Israel. Yahweh is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. So we can't keep sinning willfully. See? He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities, because we should have received death for the things that we've done against Yahweh. Verse 11, it says, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us, like as a father pities his children, so Yahweh pities them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. He knows how weak we are. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place of it shall know it no more. But the loving kindness of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children. That's his grandchildren. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his precepts to do them. So he's looking out for the descendants of the righteous, the seed of the blessed, as I would say. Because he is blessing with all of the benefits, Yahweh's benefits, his people. Yahweh, in verse 19, has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Not just some of the people, over all. Bless Yahweh, you his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, listening to the voice of his word. We're talking about the two-thirds that remained, not the third that left and followed Satan, but the two-thirds that remained. Bless Yahweh, all you his hosts, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. That's all of his ministers. Every one of us has a ministry, and every one of us has something that he's scripted us to do. We have a task, a job that he has raised us up for. And bless Yahweh, all you his works. In all places of his dominion, bless Yahweh, O my soul. See, Yahweh is a wonderful, mighty one. And when you think about all of the benefits that he has given his people, all of the benefits that he has provided for us, there's no employer that can match it. Turn to Psalm 55, verse 12. Verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, cast your burden upon Yahweh, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. He's never going to permit the righteous, his people, to be moved. That's why we have to be faithful in all things, brethren. Verse 18 of Psalm 103, we've read that, but I want to revisit it. It says, "But the loving kindness of Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness to the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his precepts to do them." So if we remember his covenant, then we're going to be faithful in doing it. We're going to follow. This week's Torah portion, or Parsha, is Toldot, generations, from Genesis 25:19 to 28:9, and Malachi 1:1 to 2:7, and Romans 9:1 to 3. We're going to look at a couple of these as I've incorporated it into this message, starting with Romans. Romans chapter 9. We'll start in verse 1. Remember, this message is entitled "The Benefits of Yahweh." "I say the truth in the Messiah, I do not lie, my conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and unceasing pain in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were an anathema from the Messiah for my brethren's sake, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, who is an the adoption, and the glory, and the covenant, and the giving of the law, and the service of Elohim, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom is the Messiah as concerning the flesh, who is over all, Yahweh blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of Yahweh has come to nothing, for they are not all Israel that are of Israel. Neither, because they are Abraham's seed, are they all children, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. That is, it is not the children of the flesh that are the children of Yahweh, but the children of the promise are reckoned for a seed. But this is a word of promise: according to this season will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but Rebekah also, having conceived by one, even by our father Yitzchak, or Isaac. For the children, not yet being born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of Yahweh according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger, even as it is written, Jacob, Yaakov, I love, but Esau, I hate it." This is very interesting, brother. It's very interesting that the Toldot, or generations, and this particular parsha or Torah portion is speaking of Toldot. And it says, "And these are the generations, the Toldot, of Yitzchak, Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Yitzchak," Genesis 25:19. This portion of Scripture begins with the description of the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Okay? Now, it's interesting that Isaac wasn't born until his father's name was changed from Abram to Abraham. And the change in his name was accomplished with the addition of the Hebrew letter He, which is often used as an abbreviated form of the name of Yahweh. Think about that. And so, with the inclusion of the supernatural power and presence of Yahweh in his life, Abraham finally saw the fulfillment of Yahweh's promise of a son. Now, we're talking generations here. We're no different than Abraham. By ourselves, we can do nothing. but in reference to John 15:5, but when Yahweh gets involved, nothing is impossible. Turn to Genesis 25. I'm going to start verse 19. Genesis 25. We're going to start in verse 19. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham procreated Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, Rivkah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padam Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian, to be his wife. And Isaac prayed to Yahweh for his wife because she was barren, and Yahweh was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it be so, why do I live?" And she went to inquire of Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples shall be separated from your bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there was twins in her womb. And the first came forth red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came forth his brother, and his hand had hold of Esau's heel. And his name was Yaakov, Jacob. And Isaac, or Yitzchak, was 60 years old when she bare them. Now, he was 40 years old when they got married. Okay? She was barren for 20 years until he prayed to Yahweh. And we know that 40 is a significant number in the Bible. Moses led the people for 40 years in the wilderness. It rained for 40 days and nights in Genesis. The list goes on. But 40 years equals a generation. Coincidental that both Abraham's wife and Isaac's wife had difficulty conceiving? No. This reveals that their children were conceived through Yahweh's supernatural intervention and set apart to fulfill a special destiny. Turn to Psalm 128. Going to read the psalm in its entirety. It said, "Blessed is everyone that fears Yahweh, that walks in his ways, for you shall eat the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house. Your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that fears Yahweh. Yahweh shall bless you out of Zion. And you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, you shall see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." That's the benefit, brethren, of being one of Yahweh's children. Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs 13, and we'll start in verse 13. It says, "Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, that one may depart from the snares of death. Good understanding gives favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. Every prudent man works with knowledge, but a fool flaunts his folly. A wicked messenger falls into evil, but a faithful ambassador is health. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses correction, but he that regards reproof shall be honored. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. Walk with wise men, and you shall be wise. But the companion of fools shall be broken. Evil pursues sinners, but the righteous shall be recompensed with good. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of a sinner is laid up for the righteous. Much food is in the tillage of the poor, but there is that is destroyed by reason of injustice. He that spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him corrects him when necessary. The righteous eats to the satisfying of the soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. Almighty Yahweh provides us with the benefits on high. He gives us everything we have need of. Turn to Malachi chapter 1, which is a part of the Parsha. Malachi chapter 1. The burden of the word of Yahweh to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says Yahweh, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? And Yahweh says, yet I love Yaakov, or Jacob, but Esau I hated, and made his mountains a desolation, and gave his heritage to the jackals of the wilderness. Whereas Edom says, we are beaten down, but we will return and build the waste places. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And men shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom Yahweh has indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and you shall say, Yahweh, be magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear? Says Yahweh of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name, and you say, in what way have we despised your name? You offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, in what way have we polluted you? In that you say, the table of Yahweh is contemptible, and when you offer the blind for sacrifice, it is no evil? Yes, it is. And when you offer the lame and sick, it is no evil? Present it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with you, or will he accept your person? Says Yahweh of hosts, and now I pray you, entreat the favor of El, that he may be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he accept any of your persons, says Yahweh of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle a fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says Yahweh of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the Gentiles, says Yahweh of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say the table of Yahweh is polluted, and the fruit of it, even its food, is contemptible. You say also, behold, that a weariness in it, and you have snuffed at it, says Yahweh of hosts. And you have wrought that which was taken by violence, and the lame and the sick. Thus you bring the offering. Should I accept this at your hands, says Yahweh? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and vows, and sacrifice unto Yahweh a blemished thing. For I am a great king, says Yahweh of hosts, and my name is terrible among the Gentiles. But if you know to do good and do it not, to you is sin. And that's what happened. Israel knew, the Jews knew what they were to offer, and they did not. They had the male in their flock that they were supposed to offer, but they would not. They would offer something lame or sick or something that was not called for. Chapter 2, it says, and now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you excuse me, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, says Yahweh of hosts, then will I send the curse upon you, And I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay at the heart. Behold, I will rebuke your seed, and will spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your feet. And you shall be taken away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my commandment may be with Levi, says Yahweh of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear. And he feared me and stood in awe of my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found in his lips. But he walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many away from iniquity. He turned many away from sin. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. Ezekiel chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 7. We'll start in verse 1. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, And you, son of man, thus says the sovereign Yahweh to the land of Israel, and in The end has come upon the four corners of the land. Now is the end upon you, and I will send my anger upon you and will judge you according to your ways. And I will bring upon you all your abominations, and my eyes shall not spare you, neither will I have pity. But I will bring your ways upon you, and your abominations shall be in the middle of you, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. They had already gone into Babylonian captivity. But he's telling them that he still is going to bring the end upon the people. In verse 5 it says, In this manner says the sovereign Yahweh, An evil, and only evil, behold, it comes. An end has come, the end has come. It awakes against you. Behold, it comes, your doom has come to you, O inhabitant of the land. The time has come, the day is near, a day of tumult, and not of joyful shouting upon the mountains. Now will I shortly pour out my wrath upon you, and accomplish my anger against you, and will judge you according to your ways. And I will bring upon you all your abominations, and my eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will bring upon you according to your ways, and your abominations shall be in the middle of you. And you shall know that I, Yahweh, do strike. Now we know that the Jewish people knew the law of Yahweh. But they also added some Babylonian customs to it. Verse 10, it says, Behold the day, behold it comes. This is going to be a time of upheaval. Your doom has gone forth. The rod has blossomed. Pride has budded. Violence has risen up into the rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor of their multitude, nor of their wealth, neither shall their eminency among them, neither shall there be eminency among them. The time has come, the day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is upon all the multitude of it. For the seller shall not return to that which is sold, although they are yet alive. For the vision is touching the whole multitude of it. None shall return, neither shall any strengthen himself in the iniquity of his life, in his sinful life. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Yahweh is looking for a righteous people, not a people who think they're righteous, but a righteous people. He's looking to give the benefits of Yahweh to that righteous people, those who are keeping the covenant, every aspect of it, not part of it, but all of it. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20, it says, When your son asks you in a time to come, saying, What do the testimonies and the statutes and the ordinances which Yahweh our Elohim has commanded you mean? Then you shall say to your son, when we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, or when we were in sin, and Yahweh brought us out of sin, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and Yahweh brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and Yahweh showed signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his house before our eyes. And he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yahweh, our Elohim, for our good always, for our benefit, that he might preserve us alive as at this day. And it shall be righteousness to us if we observe to do all this commandment before Yahweh, our Elohim, as he has commanded us. And you know what? That is what is going to be considered righteousness if we keep the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. That's going to be a benefit to each and every one of us. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. I love Yahweh because he hears my voice and my supplication. He hears my prayers because he has inclined his ear to me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death compass me, and the pains of Sheol got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of Yahweh. O Yahweh, I plead you, deliver my soul. Gracious is Yahweh and righteous. Yes, our Elohim is merciful. Yahweh preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul. For Yahweh has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before Yahweh in the land of the living. I believe, for I will speak. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to Yahweh for all his benefits toward me? What do we have to give, brethren? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of Yahweh. I will pay my vows to Yahweh. I'm going to be faithful in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of his saints. O Yahweh, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of Yahweh. I will pay my vows to Yahweh in the presence of all his people, in the courts of Yahweh's house, in the middle of you, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah. It takes a special people to receive the benefits of Yahweh. We have found the author of salvation, Yahshua the Messiah. As we seek the benefits of Yahweh, let us keep all his commandments so that we are considered a righteous people, passing the example on to our children and children's children, putting all our trust in him. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you receive the benefits of Yahweh on a daily basis as you keep his covenant law and do that which is right in his sight. At this time, I'd like to ask Brother Willie McKelvey to close with a word of prayer.
Willie just dropped off.
Okay, well, go ahead, Al. You close.
All right. Father Yahweh, we come before you on a Shabbat. We thank you for this inspiring message. We know, Father, that you have many benefits. There are many benefits to serving Yahweh, to being your children, but we don't seek you, for your presence, your P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. We seek you for your P-R-E-S-E-N-S-E, your presence. Father Yahweh, you're so good to us. You blow our mind with your faithfulness to us. You blow our mind with your healing ways and the way you take care of us, and you meet all of our need according to your riches and glory. We know, Father, that you cast our sins into the depths of the sea as far as the east is from the west. You removed our sins from us. You've caused us, Father, to look to you for salvation. We know that the name of Yeshua, it means Yahweh is salvation, and you've truly saved us from the perilous ways of the world. We know that this world is cold, it's hard, it's dying. You saved us. You transformed us, translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Thank you for your Torah. We thank you for your Spirit. We pray for a greater portion of your Spirit, Father Yahweh. Pray, Father Yahweh, that you continue to bless us, continue to surround us with favor, continue to heal us, continue to meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory, because we know that you are more than able to do anything that we ask, think, or even dream. Father, we do love you, and we just give you the praise, the glory, the honor, and blessing. And we know, Father Yahweh, that you have great things in store for us, as we read in Jeremiah 29:11, the plan with a good end. We're looking forward to the time when this stupid, sick, foolish system that we're living in will be done away with. This whole world is nothing, is a facade. It's nothing but lies. We're being lied to by the world. But we know that the only truth comes from you. So we give you thanks and we take refuge in your name. Your name is a strong and tall tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. So we give you the thanks, the praise, the glory, honor that you deserve, and we thank you that you hear our prayers when we lift up people and stand in intercessory prayer for people that we don't even know. As we lift them up to you, the people on our prayer list, believing that you're able to work miracles, and that you will hear our prayers and answer them in the name of Yeshua. We thank you for this Sabbath day and for the refreshment that it allows us to receive. We thank you for the new moon sighting that was spotted in Jerusalem. It's good to know, Father Yahweh, that there are people on the earth that are still seeking to do what is right and good in your eyes. We know that we are just a part of it. We give you thanks in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah and amen.